Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Mirsky & Company podcast, bringing you in-depth analysis on trending legal issues in media, new media, intellectual property, and privacy. I'm Andrew Mirsky, principal of Mirsky & Company PLLC, a Washington, D.C. law firm with a practice in new media, intellectual property, technology, and nonprofits. Today, I'm joined by Liz Steininger, whom I will introduce in a second, and Liz and I will discuss the business and particularly the legal landscape faced by app developers dealing with mobile platforms, the iOS and Android platforms being the dominant, most obvious ones, and dealing with the application interfaces or the APIs when developing apps based on existing applications and, of course, dealing with client relationships. Liz Steininger is my guest today, and she is co-founder of Tapangi Consulting. She is currently also doing project management for the D.C. government's Office of the Chief Technology Officer. Tapangi Consulting, Liz's company, specializes in mobile and HTML5 application development as well as content management. Liz is also an active member of the D.C. tech community, where I met her, and you can find her on Twitter as at LIZ315. Liz, I should first make clear that you are here in your personal capacity and not speaking for the D.C. government. And in any event, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Andy. I'm happy to be on this podcast with you.
Let's get right into it. So prepping for this, we're talking about a lot of issues, but we're going to try to be kind of specific on a couple of particular. Let's start with the client relationship. So you're a developer and you're pitching an idea to a potential client. You have initial ideas that you want to protect in a meeting with a client. First, to talk about what that situation looks like.
Okay, yeah. As a consultant or a developer, clients often look to us as the experts in the mobile application field. So we're aware of the different trends that are occurring. We're aware of different technical possibilities and different implementation options and generally what works in the mobile market. So we have this big view of the world, of the mobile world, that our clients often don't have. And so they look to us for that information. So oftentimes we come into these initial meetings and we have some really great ideas of what they could be doing better in their mobile application world. And sometimes they might not even have a mobile application, or if they do, maybe some suggested improvements to it. And so we come into the room with them and we come with these ideas, and sometimes we don't have that any kind of relationship in place yet. So we just come and say, hey, you know, you want to work with us, or we can do this for you, we can develop this for you, we've got these great ideas. And, you know, one of our concerns is that we have these ideas and we want them to work with us. So we want to tell them, hey, look, we know cool stuff. We can do cool stuff. But we also, you know, we don't have their trust yet, that relationship yet. So, you know, it's kind of that fine line for us, that how do we walk that line with the ideas?
And oftentimes you're coming to them with an idea rather than, as you said, you don't have necessarily a relationship or history with them. You know, if you did, presumably, then you would have had a track record with them, and they might be coming to you with ideas, or you might have a collaborative relationship based on tasks. In this case, you're really pitching ideas.
Yeah, oftentimes that's the case. Sometimes they might say, oh, well, we want a mobile app and we want it to do this little bit of thing. But, I mean, since we have a bigger idea of the trends in the market, that we might be able to suggest some improvements to even their ideas.
So, obviously, you want to be careful who you share ideas with. And that's sort of obvious, but it's also sort of not exactly easy. You are trying to be, let's be blunt, in business. So you have to share ideas in order to get ideas into fruition.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, as a developer, I would assume among your number one priorities is actually getting your ideas made or realized.
Yeah,
right?
We want the project. We want to see it through. We don't want to just be there and say, hey, wouldn't it be cool if, and then have them walk away and go work with somebody else. We want them to work with us.
Yeah, I mean, idea protection is important, but it's obviously the subject of this conversation. But I mean, really, you're talking, you know, so let's get the idea made and let's advance the ball here. So, okay, so fine, you know, as a lawyer, I come to you and say, well, fine, you have a non-disclosure agreement, you know, but that's helpful also to a point. Lots of companies won't even sign them, and if they do, they're only worthwhile to the extent you can enforce them.
That's definitely something we worry about.
Yeah, you're really not trying to get documents you can go to court over. You're trying to get ideas developed, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're technology people. We're developers. We're consultants. Our interest is doing the work. We're not lawyers. We're not interested in going to court.
There's a couple other things you can do. Again, I don't know how viable this is at an early stage, but you can certainly copyright protect your idea. But again, that raises the question, well, how specific at this point is the idea? Is it really an idea? And if it's simply an idea, to what extent is copyright protection going to get you anywhere? So, you know, my view as a lawyer is that's probably not a particularly useful at this point protection. And then it ultimately comes down to the question of like, okay, tell me about this kind of meeting. Tell me about what is it you're, when you approach a client, what exactly are you sharing with the client?
Yeah,
you know, about the idea, about the how specific are you going to get at this point, or is it simply? I mean, I assume they're hiring you for making an idea happen, not just the idea.
Yeah, that's very true. It really varies how far along the client is when we first speak to them. In some cases, they might come to us and they say, "Hey, we want a mobile app," and you know. Something as general as that, and you know they're really looking to us to help them figure out what that mobile app looks like and what it does and who the users are and those kinds of issues. And then other times they come to us and they know exactly what they want. They might even have like you know some level of designs developed for it. They might have like wireframes. They might know how it works already. They might know who they want to integrate with as far as APIs and stuff. And so they come to us to actually make it happen, to build it, to make it work. And they want us to solve the technical problems, but they kind of have it spec'd out for us. So it really varies. Different clients are in different places when it comes to the mobile app world.
Well, let's get right to that then. That's the next sort of bucket of things I wanted to talk about, maybe the development process itself. You know, when you're dealing with platforms, separate from the client relationship, when you're dealing with platforms, when you're dealing with the iOS, and you're dealing with Android, you're dealing with the various APIs, you're dealing with these agreements in the big picture cover trademarks, copyright, privacy, and on and on and on. That's fairly well known and probably doesn't get a whole lot of concern for you at the development point. My question is, but you as a developer, what is your concern when you get down to work with an API or a platform? In other words, are you even thinking about or dealing with legal issues at that point? What gets you concerned?
Yeah, we've multiple concerns. First off, like you mentioned, platforms. We have concerns about working with the various platforms. Apple's rules for iOS development are very different than, say, Android, and then if we want to do BlackBerry too. And so we have to navigate that territory to make sure that, you know, any kind of mobile application we build not only works technically, but also works legally. And I think that as technical people, we're way more focused on the technical aspect of things and less focused on the legal stuff. And then there's also the APIs that we might want to integrate with, or if we're using people's data sets, that kind of information, like how much can we do with the data, how much, you know, can we store. And then I think that you also know a lot about the legal issues surrounding privacy. So if we are having the users enter any kind of information into the mobile application. So those are the kinds of things that, I mean, we think about, but we probably think about them more in a technical way.
When I was preparing for this podcast, I was like, the most obvious thing that jumps out to me is, yeah, as we just talked about, the client relationship. The second is ownership issues, sort of copyright and ownership and who owns what. You want to develop it, but you also want to, obviously you want to get paid, but you want to own rights to something. Certain things that you will give to a client, obviously they're going to pay for. Certain things that you're going to develop, maybe background technologies that you might be able to use for multiple applications.
Yeah, that definitely comes up in our minds too, but again, because we're more technical, we tend not to think maybe about the legal issues as much as we should. But yeah, in some cases, we might have a product that we're developing on our side that we want to use for multiple clients. Maybe some sort of app that might need to work for multiple people, or there's a case where it's their application, and so we're just doing the work, we're just developing it for them. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, because we're the developers and we do this more, we know the code, we know how things work, and so there might be certain aspects of that we want to hang on to so that we can use that with other people.
Do you choose projects based on the type of platform or API, or is it kind of the other way around?
Well, I mean, it really goes both ways. We have to navigate a lot of different territories because there's, you know, the mobile app is in the middle of a lot of stuff. But generally, how we pick projects and who we work with, it's stuff that we're good at and stuff that we're passionate about. In our field of expertise, we might not go outside of that too much if we're not comfortable, because it's, you know, it doesn't benefit anybody if we're not good at what we do. So we probably look at where our strengths are as far and where we want to go with our portfolio.
What are the sort of strengths of Tapangi as a company and yours particularly?
Although we do mobile app development is a very large space. There's a lot of different approaches, different types of mobile apps that are out there now. It's really grown in the last few years. And what we really specialize in is more of the platforms that go between the various development platforms. So, like, how do you abstract things away from Apple's iOS, away from, you know, like BlackBerry or Android, and how do you have people maintain maybe one app and, you know, very little of the code that has to go to the individual platforms for the phones. So there's some cutting-edge technology in that that helped to make it easier for the development side of these mobile applications. And it might seem pretty seamless to the end user that we're approaching it in a different way.
I assume you're talking about sort of platform-agnostic app development that's not necessarily platform-specific, but sort of through technology like HTML5 and that generation of technology, sort of developing apps that work across platforms.
Yeah, exactly.
What is your sort of overall, in a non-technical sense, what is your goal in developing an app? You know, limiting ownership can be financially beneficial, but there are some developers who are interested in getting ideas out there. Just sort of sharing ideas. You talked about the specialties of Tapangi and your particular expertise. Some of this will come back to benefit you, obviously, as a company, but, you know, talk a little bit about what your goals are as an app developer.
Our philosophy in general is to share and to be more open, or as open as possible. So I can definitely understand why some companies would want to take the approach of owning as much as possible, because they, you know, that's something that's very dear to them, and they see that as how they're going to make their money in the future. So they want to hold on to more of their development product than perhaps we would. We're more interested in how can we push the field, how can we push things forward, how can we contribute back to the community that is also, you know, contributing things that we use. So having that sharing aspect with other developers. You know, our interest when it comes to the legal issues about who owns the code would be, can we share portions of this, and less of do we own it or does somebody else own it, but it's more about how can we share this? How can we help to get the community to move forward? How can we use this on other clients? How can we advance this? Maybe even give talks about it. How can we, you know, give snippets of code to other developers that we, you know, we might partner with on the side?
That sort of works both ways, too, because you're also using code from like-minded people in your projects.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we have that philosophy where we want to also give back. If we're going to be using their code, we want to give them cool code to use, too. We want to be part of a larger community of developers that are really doing cool stuff with mobile applications, and less of, you know, let's cling on to our work so that we can make money. You know, we do it through, you know, implementations of this code, and then we might build additional code that's really great that might be useful to other people, and we want to be able to share that.
Okay, that would seem to set up at least sometimes a potential clash with clients whose interests may not necessarily align with that. What's your experience been with that?
Yeah, you know, that's why legal issues are very interesting to us, because we want to make sure that we can walk that line carefully, and that we make sure that we understand the ramifications of our actions, and that we make sure we don't get our clients into trouble, ourselves into trouble. But really, we would want to look to work with people who also have a similar philosophy as we do, that, you know, having a great app is important. That's what everybody wants. But, you know, the code that runs that app, why can't we take pieces of it and use it elsewhere? Why can't we share that? And that's kind of how we think. So I think that how we navigate that is, you know, keep abreast of the legal issues, consult with lawyers like and make sure that we try to find clients and other and work with people that have a similar philosophy.
You mentioned privacy. I want to mention it because it's just sort of like, in a sense, almost because you have to talk about privacy. I guess from the development standpoint, your standpoint, at what point does privacy for you come up? For example, when you are going to deal with personal information, that's when privacy issues come up, particularly in United States law, then you may have certain obligations. But in the development process, when are you actually dealing with, or are you, personal information or privacy information?
That really depends on the application that we're working with. So are the users just basic anonymous users that are just interacting with the app? They download it and they just, like, you know, they click around, but they don't really do much. I mean, technically, even in that case, privacy could be an issue if we were tracking what they were doing within the application somehow. But privacy generally would come up our privacy concerns would probably come up if we were capturing more information about the user and how we navigate that space. And we try to keep an eye on the privacy conversations that are going on. But, you know, that is definitely a legal concern that comes up with application developers.
The reason I framed it that way is I kind of picture the developers at the front end and the end user relationship at the back end. And sort of from the developer standpoint, in some ways, you're not concerned necessarily with the end user experience because you're not dealing with it. Or is that not an accurate way to describe it?
Do you mean the end user experience in general? general or the end user experience when it comes to privacy only?
Your question really answered my point. Yes, yeah, you are dealing with the end user experience generally, and I guess that also implicates privacy, right?
Yeah, I think it does to a degree. I mean, like I said, I guess it depends on how much we're kind of tracking of what they're doing. If we're tracking things that they're doing, then I think that privacy is a big concern for people. If we're not tracking what they're doing, and we just kind of like, you know, let them download the app and they just use it, then things like privacy wouldn't be much of an issue.
We're a bit out of time, but I want to thank you, Liz, for joining us today. Some of these things actually are worth another separate conversation, and we hope to do that one day soon, and hope to have you on the podcast again soon. I also want to thank our podcast producer, Thomas Yarnell. I'm your host, Andrew Mursky. I can be reached at 202-339-0303 or andy@mirskylegal, mirskylegal.com. Again, my guest today was Liz Steininger. Liz is co-founder. Her company is called Topangi Consulting. What is the website of your company, Liz? Is it Topangi.com?
Would be Topangi.com, yeah.
That would be TAPANGI.com. And Liz is also currently doing project management work for the D.C. government in their office of the Chief Technology Officer. Liz can be reached on Twitter via her Twitter handle, @Liz315. And that's about it. Thank you all for listening today, and we hope you'll join us next week. Thank you, Liz.
And thanks for having me, Andy. It was my pleasure to be here.